Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
When evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen and they went to the tomb, they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Well, I'm glad we're finally here, because we have been working through in the season of Lent, every day living with Jesus in the last week. Through our sermon series, we have gone through all of the tensions, all of the conspiracies, all of the disappointments, all of the betrayals. We've seen the trial. We've experienced all of the crucifixion and all of those kinds of things that go along with the darkness and the depression that happened during Holy Week. And we've done so not only going through the main ones like we usually do, which is Palm Sunday and Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, but we've gone through every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and looked at what, according to the Gospel of Mark, happened in each one of those days. Finding surprises all along the way, surprises that, like Wednesday, for instance. Wednesday is, there's more recorded about Wednesday and the happenings and the events of Wednesday than any of the other days. And we would expect that Palm Sunday and Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday were all days that had more events to happen than that. But one of the things that surprises me is that there is nothing recorded for Saturday. That there is nothing there about what happened on Saturday. Mark spends his time detailing every day of the week except for Saturday. There's just silence there. And he even, on Good Friday, breaks Good Friday down into 4 3-hour segments from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, telling us what happened during each hour. And yet there is nothing on Saturday. And after Friday, after the events of Friday and the crucifixion, you know that there's stuff going on in the hearts and the minds and the souls of the disciples. All of the questions that must have been there, all of the feelings that must have been expressed, all of the fears that caused them to go and hide. I mean, we don't know what happened at all after the crucifixion, but you know things were happening. Don't you know that they were saying, "We believed in him, we followed him, we served him, and now he's gone"? And what does that mean? Does that mean that we've been taken by this man, that we followed him, and the promises that he gave to us were something that were not trustworthy? that they can't be authenticated because he is no longer with us. He didn't do what those soldiers mocked him at the foot of the cross, saying, "Come down from the cross, Jesus, if you are really the Messiah." Was Jesus the Messiah? Was he not? Had they just spent the last 3 years in vain following this man who gave them promises that he couldn't fulfill? I mean, what? Why wasn't God doing something? If this was really the Son of God, why didn't God change things? Why didn't God come in great power over the events of Friday and change them all? Why didn't God come now and change their hearts and helped them to feel as though there was something that was coming, something different, something hopeful? But they were just in the midst of depression, and there is nothing that's recorded about what happened on Saturday. Just simply silence. And I guess we could say that if we could add Saturday to all of those that have descriptive terms, we could have Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and now Silent Saturday. You know, even in the Nicene Creed, in the early church, there's nothing about what happened on Saturday. It talks about Friday. It says, "For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried," and then jumps right to Sunday in going on and saying, "On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scripture," but nothing about Saturday. And finally, in the Apostles' Creed, we begin to get some idea, because it says on Friday Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And on Sunday, that the third day, he rose again from the dead. And it says, sandwiched in between there, that he descended into hell, that Jesus descended into hell. Was that what happened on Saturday? That between the time that Jesus died and the time that Jesus was risen, that he descended into the depths of hell? It's an interesting notion, I think, and one that has been difficult for the church from the very beginning, because when we say the Apostles' Creed, we don't use those words, because in the early church, they had trouble with the idea that Jesus, who was without sin, would go to hell, the place of sin. But actually, for the Jewish people, The place of hell, the place of Sheol, was not a place of sinfulness. It wasn't the place that bad people went. It was just the place that all dead people went. It was a place where the shadows of death surrounded them, and they would live in this place in their death with all other dead people. The idea that Jesus descended into hell was called the harrowing of hell. An old English word, harrowing, meaning robbing, that Jesus went to rob hell of those who had died in the faith, those who were martyred. You see, there's an idea that the early Christians had that God had to vindicate those who had been faithful. The disciples, those that had gone before Jesus that had been faithful, those who had acted out some of God's world of salvation. And so Jesus would descend into Sheol and to bring those people back and lead them into their heavenly glory. There in Istanbul is a museum, used to be a cathedral, and there is a picture of Jesus standing on top of a bound Satan and reaching out for those who were faithful, Adam and Eve, Moses, Noah, all of those, bringing them with him, leading them on into their heavenly glory. Their deaths were vindicated. You see, the idea was that God would always vindicate the faithful. And it might happen before you died. You didn't have to die to be vindicated. I mean, like, think about Daniel in the lion's den. Just before Daniel dies, God intervenes and saves Daniel. But what about all of those that did die for their faith? What happened to them? Well, the idea is that Jesus would go and save them from their death. that they would be rewarded for their faith. And I tell you, I think about this, and I think of the notion of Jesus descending into hell and all that it meant to the early Christians. For me, it means really a great deal more. Because for some reason, Jesus being glorified means less to me than Jesus descending into hell. Because if Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, was glorified and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we say, and looks down upon all of us poor schmucks that are still down here, there's a little bit that's not said there. But the idea that Jesus was in his death just as willing to move into the hell of people's life as he was when he was alive means a great deal to me. That not only did Jesus heal the paralytic, talk to the prostitutes, and lift them up above the kind of life that they were living in their day, the same thing happens now because Jesus is willing in his death to descend into the hell of my life and to reach out to me and to lift me above the experience of death and darkness and despair that I feel in my life. You remember that poem, Footsteps? Or the footprints in the sand? You know how important that's been to people over the years, the idea that Jesus always walks with us. The idea that there were footprints in the sand and there was just one set of footprints and they thought, I was walking all by myself. Where was the Lord? Well, the Lord was there carrying you, and the one set of footprints was the Lord. That's what it means to have the faith that God still walks with us, that Jesus was willing to descend into the depths of hell and be a part of the vindication of the faithful's life. And still today, that Jesus descends into our hell so that we might be able to feel the fullness of life. It also reminds me that as a Christian, as one who was encouraged to follow on the way, and really the whole Gospel of Mark is what enables us to see that Jesus was calling all of his disciples to follow in his footsteps, to do as he did, to continue the faith and to walk the way of faith in their lives. And so we are called to walk that same kind of walk of faith. That not only does Jesus reach out to us and bring us up above the darkness and the despair of our lives, but we are called to do the same. We are called to follow Christ in reaching out to those who are living in their own hell and to lift them above their hell. You know, I think about James and John, these two disciples, walking along with Jesus one day, and they say, you know, Jesus, when you go to your glory, could we sit at your right and on your left? Could we join you in that wonderful experience of glory? And Jesus said, it's not about the glory. It's about being a servant. Because if you're going to follow me, you're not going to go to glory. You're going to take up your cross along with me, and you're going to reach out to those who are suffering. You're going to give up some of your life so that somebody else can experience new life. At the Transfiguration, one of the most glorious moments in all of Jesus' ministry, when he went up the mountainside and was changed into a brilliant white, whiter than anyone had ever seen. And he had with him Peter, James, and John, and they said, this is such a wonderful time. Let's stay on this mountain with you forever, Lord. Let's live in this glory forever. And Jesus said, no, it's time to go back down the mountain. And to serve and to heal. Remember, Jesus said that he had come not as one to be served, but one who does serve. And if that was the commissioning for Jesus from God, then certainly it's our commission as well. You remember the story of Jesus walking on the water. As he walks out on the water, the disciples on the boat see Jesus, and And Peter says, I know that that's Jesus. Jesus, if that's really you, let me walk on the water to you. And Jesus invites Peter out of the boat to walk on the water. And Peter's walking on the water until a wind comes up and he realizes, wait a minute, I can't do this. And he starts to sink. And he reaches out his hand and he says, Master. Jesus takes his hand and brings him back on top of the water and takes him into the safety of the boat. And I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times I feel like I'm sinking, that I'm going down, I'm going under, that I'm drowning. I'm drowning in all of the things that I have to do, all of the difficulties of life, all of the difficulties of other people's lives that I take on in mine. And you're the same way. All of us experience that kind of darkness and despair and hurtfulness. And to have the faith that Jesus reaches out for us and takes our hands and takes us back into the safety of the boat. You remember the definition of faith we find in the letter to the Hebrews? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The idea that Jesus descends into hell, the harrowing of hell, the reaching out of Jesus' hand to those who live in the depths of the darkness and lifts them out, is the faith. There is a hand moving among us at every moment of our lives. That there is a presence of the Spirit of God that never leaves us alone, that is always with us, carrying us at the times we need to be carried. Remember, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And unless we allow some of our selfishness and our own egoism, that unless we allow that to die, that we can't be those that bear the fruit of the Lord with those around us. It was St. Paul that said, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. And he went on to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. My friends, there is no greater goal in life, no greater compliment that you can ever receive than when I was with you, I experienced the presence of the Lord. That is our goal. And that's what Easter really means. You know, I know that the silence of Saturday is really what gives meaning to Easter Sunday. This idea that Christ walks with us, lives with us, loves us, cares for us, and that we can continue that care and love with others is really what Easter is all about. Remember the silence of Saturday. Remember that Christ walks with you. Remember that Christ reaches out for you. And remember that you are called to reach out for those others who are suffering in the darkness of their lives. Happy Easter to you all.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.